Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Bo Wolf here at the NovaCare Complex. Lots going on with this football team as they get ready for the Houston Texans. We all wondering when this offensive line would become whole, Bo. Looks like that will be difficult to do. Todd Harriman's biceps injury. He'll try to play this week, but after that, who knows?
That's right. And Todd Harriman's, of course, is as tough a guy as there is on this football team. He will try to play through it. He played through it at the end of that game last week against the Cardinals. But obviously, for an offensive lineman, your arms are very important. It's going to be interesting to see how he does. And if he can't go through it, who plays right guard? It could be Andrew Gardner. It could be Dennis Kelly. We'll find out, I guess.
Yes, we will. And to do so, we get you caught up in everything happening on this Wednesday. Out on the practice field, it's Chris McPherson, our Eagles 360 update presented by Sports Authority.
Thanks, Dave and Bo. The Eagles' offensive line is one step closer to being fully whole, as both center Jason Kelce and guard Todd Harriman were full participants in Wednesday's training session. Kelce has missed four games after suffering a sports hernia back in the Week 3 game against Washington, and Harriman suffered a biceps injury last Sunday against Arizona. The question is whether one or both players will suit up this Sunday in Houston.
He went yesterday. You know, it's what he can deal with, but he's back up, ready, slated to go today. We'll see what he can do this week. You know, in a lot of those situations, Todd's, Jason's, all those things, I defer to the player, and they can tell me how they feel. They've been around long enough. I got a great faith and trust in them in terms of where they are. So he's looked good the last couple of days. You know, we'll see as it gets extended when, you know, he trained yesterday, he trained today, he'll train on Thursday, train on Friday, and then we'll make a decision on Saturday with him.
We don't want other linemen out. You know, so hopefully it's not that bad. We can get him back out there, him and the other guys.
We know for certain that the Eagles will have running back LeSean McCoy this Sunday, who is looking to make a statement against the Texans, who have Arian Foster, who this season is second in the league in rushing yards.
I've always liked Foster since day one. He's a big back, explosive, fast, strong. Always like Foster. Arian's pretty good. And I know him too, though. So
he's got great vision. He's got a great understanding of running zone plays, whether it be the wide zone play or the tight zone play, and then makes great decisions of sticking his foot in the ground and getting physical and get up the field. He can run through arm tackles, but he's also a really good receiver coming out of the backfield, and I think Billy does a great job of kind of complementing not only what they do with him in the run game, but what they do with him in the passing game. So,
last week in Arizona, the Eagles had to contend with the league's best run defense in the Cardinals. This Sunday in Houston, it will be arguably the best defensive player in the league in defensive end J.J. Watt, who has 7 sacks and 3 touchdowns in 2014.
I mean, we're not going to run away from him, you know. But he's one of the guys. We definitely got to know where he's at. He's a special player. He's one of the guys with a star on his back.
He's a very smart guy. Makes a lot of plays. He's a hard guy to get a beat on what he's going to do and stuff like that. He's got a lot of variety of different moves, different ways to fit the run, different ways to, you know, attack an offense and an offensive line. Whenever you're playing a guy like that or a guy who tends to be in the backfield a lot or batting down passes and stuff like that, you just spend extra film study and try and understand his game a little bit more.
I mean, I think they move him around in so many different spots. I think you don't have a beat on when you can and when you can't, you know, handle in terms of pushing things to him and not pushing things to him. So there's going to be some times where he's one-on-one and you're going to have to be able to block him in one-on-one situations.
That's going to do it for this 360 update presented by Sports Authority. Let's send it back to the studio for more on Eagles 360 with Dave and Bo.
All right, thanks very much, Chris. Bo, we've got a lot going on here with the team. Houston Texans kind of an unknown, but 4-4 after a win against Tennessee on Sunday and a lot of talent in Houston.
Certainly, and of course that starts with J.J. Watt. And on the other side, our Cover 2 segment with Elliot Shore Parks and Les Bowen will break down what the Eagles can expect from this Texans team and also what's next for this offensive line.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
A life is more than a heartbeat. it's more than what you see on a CAT scan or echocardiogram. And although we see some of the most rare and complicated heart conditions and continue to advance the frontiers of heart care every day, we never forget what we're really looking at. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Welcome back at Eagles 360. We come your way every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Time now to get a little outside perspective, and to do so, we send you over to our Fan Cave studio, our Cover 2 segment with Elliot Shore Parks from NJ.com, Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News. How do the Eagles bounce back after the tough loss in Arizona? And of course, number 9, always a topic of conversation.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to this week's Cover 2 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to break down the loss to the Arizona Cardinals and look ahead to a big showdown with the Houston Texans. And joining me this week is Elliot Shore Parks from NJ.com and also Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News. Gentlemen, Eagles fall in the desert 24-20. Should fans be alarmed by the way that this team lost? And I'll let you kick this one off.
Well, it's the second game out of their two losses that they really could have won. I mean, they're right there at the end. They get down, not as close as they did against San Francisco, but they're still pretty close. There's one thing to be concerned about. It is the fact that the secondary lost it for you in a lot of ways on that play. But also, I think, again, the play of Nick Foles. I mean, if he hits Josh Huff with a better throw in the first quarter, I believe it was, instead of throwing the interception, that's a touchdown, and they probably win the game. So I think the way they lost have kind of been the same things that have plagued them throughout the season, which is concerning.
Les, are these things that you think can be correctable moving forward?
Well, that's the huge million-dollar question, Chris. I would say, again, as Elliot said, I would put it more squarely on Foles. The secondary, to me, is what it is. I really don't think, you know, they gave up 21 points defensively in that game against Arizona. There was a field goal that came from a Foles interception. I don't think you're going to do a whole lot better than that against a really potent group of receivers and a good quarterback. But I think Foles has to be, you know, I don't think it was a great idea to have him throw it 62 times. And I don't think, you know, he can't throw those two interceptions. And if one of them took points off the board, one of them put points on the board for Arizona. And that if that doesn't happen, you win the game.
So should the Eagles go back to the ground game more? I mean, LeSean McCoy gained more yards against the Cardinals than any running back did this season. Mm-hmm. Do you think they need to make him the focal point of the offense once again?
Yeah, I mean, he averaged 4 yards a carry, which is good. I was surprised, like Les said, to throw it 62 times. That's more than McNabb ever did under Andy Reid, and we all know how pass-happy Reid could get at times. So I think Chip got a little wrapped up. I mean, he said on Monday the plan was to attack the secondary. But I think when you see the way Foles was playing, you know, some of the decisions he was making, he's having some axillary problems, I think it would have been a good idea to maybe give it to McCoy a little more.
Now, Les, what do you think has happened to make the red zone offense better? That's something that I'm sure the Eagles were focused on coming out of the bye week, and once again they get to the 1 yard line, and even though it looked like Chris Polk got in the end zone or at least had the first down, still didn't get it. They didn't get on third and short and settle for the field goal, which right decision, but still not to be able to get those 6 points in the red zone.
Well, there are two issues in the red zone. One is the offensive line with David Molk still in there and Matt Tobin instead of the Evan Mathis and Jason Kelsey. That's a huge thing. Even Chip, his first day answer for not quarterback sneaking was kind of nonsensical, that he had done it once last year and it didn't work. You know, when he finally got around to explaining it the next day, it was, well, you know, we're undersized and inexperienced up front. And the other thing is Nick just not really, you know, finding the right guy and hitting him where he can catch the ball in the red zone. You know, and I just think, you know, I think the offensive line part is going to get solved. The Nick part has to get solved for this team to really move forward.
And I think it's interesting that Chip Kelly now twice this season has said he flat out didn't trust the offensive line in certain situations.
Right.
Against San Francisco, he said that's why, I believe, you know, he didn't run it on the fourth down play. And then again, on the goal line, he didn't think that they could get a few inches. So that's a larger concern that, you know, your head coach doesn't think either your backups or the combination of backups and starters can't win at the line of scrimmage when it matters most.
Now, let's look at something positive for the Eagles offense. Jerry Macklin on Tuesday was named the recipient of the team's Ed Block Courage Award winner for his amazing comeback from the ACL surgery that wiped out his entire 2013 season. Another 12 catches on Sunday, two touchdowns, a career high in yards in the loss to the Cardinals. Nonetheless, though, Les, your take on Macklin's season, how impressed have you been by his performance?
Oh, very impressed, and this was very well timed. Coming off that amazing game, I think he was, he left the game, he got basically headbutted by Deion Buchanan. I'll have to make a mental note to check with the league Friday on that. I didn't really think that's a finable hit. You know, he had to leave the game, come back, still caught 187 yards worth of passes. Yeah, it's been a tremendous comeback for Macklin. And again, if Nick, and I hate to make every answer, you know, how Nick's not doing that well.
It always comes back to the quarterback.
He has so many targets. I mean, if Nick were hitting it, he doesn't have, he's, Pro Football Focus doesn't credit him with any drops, which I think is probably wrong, but he doesn't have a lot of drops, and he could have 20 more catches. He could be leading the league, you know, if Foles were really, you know, playing at a Tom Brady level.
I think the thing you're seeing from Macklin this year, too, is just how versatile he is. I mean, he's had, you know, long runs after the catches. I mean, he had that touchdown that was called back because of Jason Kelce, but really showed his explosiveness. He's caught the ball down the field. He's caught it over the middle. He's taken big hits and stayed in the game. So I think he's really proven to be kind of the weapon Chip was thinking, that he could move them all over and use them in different roles.
All right, so looking ahead to this Sunday's matchup with the Houston Texans, Les, is this a game where the Eagles bounce back? The Texans much better than they expected, already have doubled their win total from last season. Do you think, though, the Eagles get focused, go back on the road, and get the job done?
It's going to be tough. I think they will, but it's going to be, you know, it's another road game indoors, kind of. And, you know, it's a team that J.J. Watt and really a lot of good ingredients there. A team that started out 3-1 is now 4-4, but really isn't getting killed by anybody. They had three bad minutes against the Steelers in a game they otherwise probably won, and, you know, that's, it's not like playing the Jaguars again or something like that. It's going to be hard, but I think the Eagles ought to be able to do it. A lot depends on, is Darren Sproles back? Is there a chance of Jason Kelce this week? I think those two things would be very big, and a better Michael Kendricks than we saw, more functional Michael Kendricks than we saw in Arizona.
Your thoughts, Elliot?
Yeah, I mean, Les hit it on the head. If Jason Kelce plays, I mean, obviously he'd be a little rusty, but that'd be a big advantage to the Eagles' offensive line, because they like to move J.J. Watt all over, and they'll put him over center a lot. And, you know, Molk has improved over the weeks, but one of his weaknesses, if you will, is his size. And J.J. Watt is, as we know, is a big guy. So I'll take the turn to pick on Nick a little here and say, you know, if J.J. Watt is coming up the middle and Molk can't handle him, Nick's really going to have to step his game up, because one thing he's done, he's shown, is when he's under pressure, he'll throw that ball up, and he's going to be under pressure this week. So he has to make better decisions to give the Eagles a chance.
For Les Bowen and Elliot Shore Parks, I'm Chris McPherson, and thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of Cover 2 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, good stuff from those guys, as always. And, Dave, this defense is one that is pretty deep, especially in the secondary. Nolan Carroll, player who played a lot against Arizona, you had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, I like the way that Bill Davis is using all of his personnel. The Eagles go out and sign Nolan Carroll as a free agent. You wonder how he's going to fit in. Well, he's fitting in a way that he really never imagined either. And on the other side here at Eagles 360, Nolan Carroll, a visitor in studio, discussing his unique role in this Eagles defense.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in, you'll see the changes, you'll feel it, you'll love it.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles cornerback, linebacker, special teams ace. Kind of does it all for the Philadelphia Eagles, Nolan Carroll. We thank you for joining us in studio today. What are you?
Oh, man.
I'm just a player.
Just call me an athlete.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
What this role that you're in now seems to keep growing and growing and growing. How's it going for you, Nolan?
It's good. You know, at first, it was a learning process, just knowing that it was a new position, something that I never played before. You know, most of my work's been on the outside of corner, you know, so now I'm dealing with a different element as far as a mindset and a scheme role as playing basically linebacker, you know, what I'm doing. So now it's a lot of different parts as far as communicating with the safeties, corners, and D'Amico or Mike, whoever's in, and also the guys up front, and knowing where to fit and run fits, pass responsibilities. So a lot of things that tie into this position that I'm playing.
I don't think fans understand that. I mean, a fan sees a cornerback and the receiver, and they say the cornerback's going to cover the receiver, and it's that simple, but it's far from simple, isn't it? It's a mental challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot to do with the scheme and knowing where your matchups are and knowing how to disguise things and also being on the same page as everybody in the secondary. You know, we're all tied together in this defense, so what the guys do up front reflects on the guys on the back, and what the guys do in the back reflects on the front. So, you know, we all try to be on the same page. And through the first couple of games, you know, we were going through the growing pains a little bit because not everybody was on the same page, but you know, having the last game that we played against the Giants and then having that bye week and, you know, coming back last week, we all felt like we were on the same page because we had time to really reflect on what we were doing from that package and as a defense as a whole. And, you know, we were able to come out on Sunday and execute a lot better.
Nolan, what is the role? Does it change from play to play? Are you largely kind of lining up in a slot kind of position with run responsibilities as well as coverage responsibilities? How do you describe it?
Well, the past couple of weeks, you know, when we played the Giants and the Cardinals, I found out that a lot more teams are trying to run the ball when they see me. And, you know, now for me, the challenge is to not give up big runs, you know, because teams think they can get easy yards from doing that. And Arizona tried to do that also on Sunday, you know. But like I said, all the stuff is all tied together. And every week we're just going to continue to grow this package. And, you know, my job is to make the coaches feel more comfortable that they can call everything on the defensive call sheet. And, you know, it'll just make us better as a team, as a unit.
So kind of in layman's terms for fans who want to know what a dime package is, it's six defensive backs, one linebacker, and four down linemen. Mm-hmm. And you are in a position of being a quasi-defensive back and a linebacker. So when the offense sees a smaller defense mm-hmm. on the field, they want to play power football. So you got to man up maybe more than you have been asked to do in your professional career?
My mindset has always been having that physical mindset. So, you know, I trust my front four guys. I trust D'Amico because D'Amico's always going to put us in the right position. So, you know, right now all I'm doing is just going out there and just playing.
There are some players who I've run across over the years, Nolan, who they want to play a position and that's what they are. When they're asked to play special teams, they don't approach it with the gusto. You've been able to approach it with great enthusiasm, excelled on special teams, part of a great group. Now this, I mean, you're the kind of player who's always been just, I'll do whatever it takes to get on the field?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, that just goes back to when I was in college. You know, I was always trying to find some way to get on the field. And, you know, first it started with special teams, and then I played a little. I came in as a receiver in Maryland, so I didn't really get to play it much. So I had to try and find my way on special teams. And then special teams, I started playing offense a little bit more, and then I made the transition over to defense and, you know, still special teams. And then when I got into the league, it was starting off as special teams, and we had a crowded backfield in the secondary, you know, so I had to try and find my way through special teams.
We are still early in the week here. Houston is next on Sunday. A couple of players that you've had experience against, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson. I'm not sure people on the East Coast are quite aware of just how good those players are. You know, though.
Yeah. I've played them a few times when I was in Miami. You know, they're one of those underrated, I think they're the most underrated type players, you know, that duo of Andre Johnson and Arian Foster. Johnson, he's their leading receiver in Houston history or something like that. But, you know, he's not the type of guy that's going to go to the media and boast about himself. He's a hard worker. He's a quiet guy. And Arian Foster, you know, he's similar. You know, he has his times where he wants the attention, but he's all about work. And you know, the scheme is perfect for them. You know, they love that stretch and getting Arian Foster the ball, letting him read the gaps and get through it. And, you know, they, off of that, they do their play-action stuff. And everybody knows Andre Johnson's a deep threat.
Okay. Well, hey, man, thanks for coming to studio.
No problem.
Nolan Carroll, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Life is more than a heartbeat. It's more than what you see on a CAT scan or echocardiogram. And although we see some of the most rare and complicated heart conditions and continue to advance the frontiers of heart care every day, we never forget what we're really looking at. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
You could win a pair of tickets to sit in the Amoroso's Baking Company suite for the Eagles versus Carolina game at Lincoln Financial Field on Monday, November 10th. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/rollintoasuite to enter for your chance to win Amoroso's, why Philly sandwiches are world famous. Welcome back to Eagles 360. I'm Dave Spadaro. Now we throw it over to the Fan Cave studio. Bo, Chris, and Fran talking about the NFC East. All of a sudden, the Dallas Cowboys coming down to earth a little bit after their Monday night loss.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, along with Beowulf and Fran Duffy, and welcome to Bob's Discount Furniture Presents Around the NFC East. And ladies and gentlemen, do we have another quarterback controversy brewing in Washington after the overtime win?
I thought you were going to say in Dallas. Could be either one.
You could go either way on this one. So, thrilling game, amazing win last night for Washington, helping the Eagles out. I will fully admit that I was cheering for Washington.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That was
I'm
the
sorry,
most
Eagles fans out there.
That was the most invested I've been in a game, a non-Eagles game, this entire season. I was rooting hard for Washington. To be fair, I also had I was rooting for Dallas to lose because lots of people would have taken them in Survivor, so that worked out well for me. But that was a great game to watch. I was all in with Washington. That was great.
I just did not think that Washington was going to pull it out. I thought they were just making too many mistakes, let Dallas linger around a little too long. But then when you saw Tony Romo take that knee in the back in the third quarter, you're like, oh, ESPN is like, this is the perfect storyline. He comes out of the locker room. He walks onto the field. You know, owner Jerry Jones is on the sideline telling coach, put him back
the
in,
the drama
coach.
With Jerry Jones, like going down to the sideline and then going back up to the booth. That was great stuff.
And what was so funny is it came right after that interview. He does the interview right. with ESPN, the in-game interview, which you never see with an owner. And Jerry is happy. He's in Jerry World.
Talking
everything's
about his
perfect.
Offensive line.
Talking about how great everything is. And you're like, you wish that the camera was on when that injury happened. What would have happened? Would he have just completely panicked? And then I guess the big question for Dallas is,
So Brandon Whedon comes off the bench. Okay. And I know Bo wants to make the wheelchair joke. They
as I text, yeah, as I texted you, it was unfortunate for the Cowboys. It was way past his bedtime.
So he comes off the bench, scores 10 points. Romo comes in. Any debate there whether Whedon should have stayed in with as good as he looked?
No, I think you bring in Romo.
Yeah, he's your guy. I mean, if he's healthy, if he can go back in, he's got to go back in.
Fully agree on that. What was so interesting about the Washington defensive game plan is Jim Haslett blitz, and blitz Romo all game long. And see, when Whedon came in, he kind of backed off and figured, oh, you know, Whedon's a little rusty, probably not going to pick up on the coverages. No, and that's why I think he was able to pick them apart. But then Romo goes right back, and it's just release the dogs and just go after him time after time again.
Well, we talked about it last week right here. I mean, we said that the Cowboys have a distinct formula to win.
You're waiting for this. You're waiting for this.
It's,
but they got to play with that formula still. They were still running the ball.
There we go. That's a good week to play it. They did. I mean, DeMarco Murray had 19 carries in the game, and they got away from that formula a little bit because, you know, look, they faced some adversity. Tony Romo was out of the game. They kind of had to get away from that a little bit, and, you know, it was a different outcome. So, obviously, look, DeMarco Murray, we've talked about his injury history. Tony Romo, that creeped in last night. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses moving forward for that team.
So what's the record where DeMarco Murray doesn't get 20 carries? It's something like they've only lost once.
I hate these stats, but I think it's like six.
You looked
like,
it up. You're the one that
No, I saw it on Twitter. I didn't, like, actively look it up. You know, I'm not actively looking for it, but I think they were 6-19 or something, and then they're 18-1 when he gets more than 20 carries. But I mean, it's just a silly stat.
So if they had just given him the ball in 4-3,
they could just start. Look, if they just open the game up with 20 carries,
there you go.
Then they could just chill for the rest. They put their feet up, and you know, they can go home.
Who I thought was
reminds me of Mike Lombardi saying that the most important stat in football is teams who have a lead at halftime win however many percentage of the game. Like, of course they do.
I thought the star of the game for Washington was rookie corner Bashaud Breeland.
Yeah, he was great.
Who, in the first half of the game, had a nice pass breakup down the field, forced a fumble. And then late in the game, they're trying to get the ball to Dez Bryant in the end zone, and not once but twice breaks up the pass. And I thought, you know, he was pretty much on an island, both he and David Amerson, for most of the game. I thought those young corners did a very, very good job.
And Colt McCoy played very well.
Yes.
All the credit to him. You know, and it's possible that RG3 comes back this week, but Colt McCoy, you know, back home in Texas, played very well.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Breland's concerned, I mean, he was one of those big physical corners coming out of the draft this year. Fell a little bit because I don't think he ran too well at the combine, and then I think there were some off-field issues as well, but the talent's there. And against a guy like Dez Bryant, one of those big physical receivers, that's something that Breland, I would think, would look forward to. And obviously, he showed up pretty well Monday night.
So Dallas is now 6-2. They face Arizona. So obviously, that's going to be a big test right there.
Is that in Dallas or in Arizona?
It's in Dallas. Dallas is home. So Dallas, Arizona. Now, Washington, two straight wins. They're getting RG3 back. You know, they are 3-5. But I think they're going to have some things to say here when in terms of the division race.
Did they not... 2 years ago, RG3's rookie year, didn't they start slow in that year?
Yes.
And then they came in and they came on hot. So
yes,
that team's done it before.
6 or 7 straight, I think, to finish the year. So
they're no pushover. They'll be feisty.
No. So they are at Minnesota. So another very winnable game for them. The Giants were on the bye, so they were able just to sit at 3-4.
Good week for them.
They didn't get healthy though. To say at least, Rashad Jennings doesn't look like he's going to play this Monday night against the Colts, and John Beeson done for the season after undergoing foot surgery, or I'm not sure if he's had the surgery, but either way, he is out for the remainder of the year. So the Giants with some injury issues even coming off the bye here.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say after their bye, but losing those guys hurts, obviously. Andre Williams is okay, as we saw. Doesn't bring the same juice as Rashad Jennings, and it's going to be a tough game against the Colts, who are coming off a loss. So.
Okay, so the Colts, again, lost 51-34. They allowed Ben Roethlisberger to go for 522 passing yards and 6 touchdowns.
And I benched him.
So...
Guessing wrong in fantasy football once again is Bo Wolf, but you know, really the big thing with the Giants will be you know, watching that tape with the Colts. The Colts are a man coverage team. They like to bring pressure. You know, they're not a blitzing team like the Arizona Cardinals were, but they like to bring pressure all the multiple fronts. They've played really, really well. It'll be interesting to see if they're able to capitalize on what they saw in film against the Steelers.
Yeah, Jerry Reese, actually the general manager for the Giants, said he wants Eli Manning and the offense to be more aggressive. Eli Manning's done a much better job of taking care of the football. I guess because of that, he's not taking as many shots downfield. So it'll be interesting to see if Manning can change that mindset now that he's a little more comfortable in Ben McAdoo's offense. That's going to do it for this edition of Bob's Discount Furniture presents Around the NFC East. For Fran and Bo, I'm Chris. Everyone, have a great Eagles day.
All right, thanks very much, guys. When we return to Eagles 360, we hear from Houston defensive lineman J.J. Watt, the best defensive player in the NFL. He holds his conference call with Philadelphia reporters. We'll hear from J.J. Watt when Eagles 360 returns.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
As a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro joined again by Bo Wolf. And Bo, let's talk about J.J. Watt and the way the Texans use him and the challenge for the Eagles on Sunday.
Well, obviously, with this offensive line in flux, we don't know who's going to be playing where. We don't know where J.J. Watt is going to be utilized, and they will throw him all over the defensive line trying to exploit different matchups. It's going to be a very interesting chess match throughout the afternoon on Sunday.
Just a sheer talent, a sheer force, plays with great energy. J.J. Watt meeting with the Philadelphia reporters today, his conference call. Let's hear from, well, a player that everyone is talking about every week. He lines up, the most dynamic defensive player in the NFL, J.J. Watt.
I think they do a pretty good job of that tempo and really getting the ball off quick. I really don't know if there's anybody that gets it off as quick as they do, and so you have to respect that. And obviously they do a great job of practicing it with their guys because everybody's so knowledgeable and they understand how to fit within the offense and how to play their role. So it's impressive, and it's going to be a fun challenge for us, and I look forward to preparing for it all week.
You can hear all of that conference call as well as the entire conference call from Houston head coach Bill O'Brien right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on demand. Feeling good about this one?
You know what, I am. I feel like this Eagles team bounces back well from losses under Chip Kelly, so I'm hoping that'll be the case.
Should be. I just don't know enough about the Texans. I don't know how legit.
I feel like some Eagles fans are maybe not giving them enough respect. This is a very good team. Defense, very good, and Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the ball out quickly. Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, explosive on the outside, and Arian Foster, of course, so it's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah, Arian Foster. Great challenge for the Eagles defense. We'll talk about that a little later in the week. Eagles 360 returns on Thursday at 5 p.m. Make sure you're with us then. And throughout the day Thursday, we get one step closer to the Eagles and the Texans on Sunday. Game time, 1 o'clock. For Bo Wolf, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.